You may be seated. And man, so awesome to have each and every one of you with us today in the house. And I just want to say quickly to everybody in the house today, look how full we are. I know that some of y'all are going to be called to the mission field. Some of y'all are going to be called to the mission field. It's not another country. It's not even another town. It's called the 1130 service, all right? And so we are asking for some of you who are able to sleep in a little bit, you know, start coming to the later service. And there's a lot more space at the 1130 service. We offer children's ministry there. So we'd love anybody that could do that to join us at 1130. Just make the move, make the shift. That opens up more space here for new folks to come in. Speaking of creating more space, we can dismiss the junior high students right now. The Bridge is going to be meeting over next door. And so all the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, you guys can head out. And several other things I want to make sure you know about. And the first one is called Realm, R-E-A-L-M. Realm is our church's database, platform, whatever you want to call it. It's accessible to everybody that's a part of Promised Land. It's an online platform that you can post prayer needs, ask for help, offer jobs to people. I mean, like this, Pastor Will always said, this is like Facebook without all the narcissism. It's just it's a safe place. Only people in our church go to it. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that environment. And here's the deal. If you've ever filled out a card or given financially or anything like that, you're in Realm already because it's our church database. But what's cool is it's accessible that you can use. And you can give financially via Realm, and it's a safe place to do it, and it's very effective. And that's where we keep all the records. I'm not sure if you know this, but Promised Land San Marcos is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation through the eyes of IRS. So whenever you give financially to Promised Land, those donations can be a tax credit to you when you file your federal income tax. So that's awesome, and it's almost tax season, all right? So we're going to be mailing out this week in snail mail form the giving records of everybody that's given, and we have over 600 families that we're mailing these to. I think almost 650, Irene was telling me, and she was making a plea to all of you. If you have moved in the last however many months and the church does not have your current address, please let us know, so that we can have the fewest amount of returned mail envelopes coming back to us that we've ever had. And here's the cool thing about this. You don't have to tell us your new address. You can actually go in Realm yourself and update it. And here's another thing that's cool. You can go into Realm 24/7 and access your giving records, you know, anytime you want. So it's safe. It's, you know, something that only you can access. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, you're like, what is going on here? This is for people that have been around for a while, that have been getting involved, and we'd love for you to engage with it. And if you haven't logged in yet, don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to send out invitations over the next couple of days. So you'll get an email, if you haven't already, that says, here's how you can log in to Realm. All right, next Sunday is a big Sunday here at Promised Land. It's the final Sunday of the month, and we're having an extended worship set. And we're going to have Tim here and Nate here and the team that normally is here. Plus, we're going to add the original worship leader of Promised Land San Marcos, Jacob Lowry, is going to be here. And so it's going to be a special time of worship next Sunday. Would love for you to invite your friends to come be with us and come to the 1130 service. And baptisms are next Sunday. So if you have never been water baptized, we would love to baptize you into the family of the Lord. If you have questions about that, please let us know. You can sign up on our website. And for those of you watching online, we'll put a link there if you would like to be baptized next week. Of course, we always allow impromptu people to, you know, if you want to get baptized next week and you make the decision next week, yeah, we'll figure out a way to get you baptized. But as many people as possible that can pre-register will help us prepare. All right, we want to grab our summer notes. Y'all got, yeah, and you guys are ready. You got your pens, you got your notes out. As you came in today, we offered sermon notes for those of you that would like to take notes today. If I haven't met you yet, I see so many new faces here today. If I have not personally met you yet, my name is Robin Steele, and I'm the pastor here at Promised Land, and we want to welcome you. If you're first time here at Promised Land, welcome to the Promised Land. If you're logging on, watching online for the first time, we want to welcome everybody that's online today. Make yourself at home. Welcome to the Promised Land. We have been talking over the last few weeks about dreaming again, because the world beats us up, right? Life beats us up, bills beat us up, coworkers, just stress and blah, 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 all the stuff that happens to us in our life disables our capacity to dream. And, you know, especially after you go through a year like 2020, it just like sucks the life out of your dreaming capacity. And there is actually biblical evidence, and I talked to you about that in week one, that in Habakkuk, where they were in a 2020 type season, and that's when God said, it's time to dream. It's time to dream. Not after you get your life together, not after you fix everything, not after you figure everything out, but I want you to dream right now. And so we're trying to encourage people at Promised Land, hey, God has a future for you. God has something good for you. It's a great plan for your life. And what you see right now is not the end. It's not everything. God has something special for you. So we want you to step into this God-given practice of dreaming with your eyes open, a daydream that is spiritual and God-centered that could reshape your future. Rick actually said, we have little control over whether this year will be better than 2020. We have little control over that, but we have complete control over whether we will be better. Yeah. So we can't control everybody else, but we do have a say in our own life, all right? This past Monday, we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day, an incredible man in our history of the United States, and he gave one of the most inspirational speeches ever. You know, his I Have a Dream speech there in Washington on the Mall in front of the Washington, or in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and just an incredible thing where he said, I have a dream that my kids will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, right? Just an incredible dream, pushing out. I mean, in the middle of so many troubling times, he dreamed a dream. I've heard there's two days in your life that are the greatest. The first is the day that you're born, and the second is a day you learn why you were born. Yes. We've all been born, we're all here, we're all alive, but have you found that purpose that God has put in your life? There's a sheet that we passed out last week. There's a picture up on the screen right there. We passed this out last week. If you didn't get one, grab it on your way out. We have some more available for you. These are six different areas in your life that you can pray about, think about with your family, with your coworkers, with your roommates, whoever, by yourself, you and God, and fill these in. This is a thing you can hang up on the wall. It will remind you throughout the year ways to dream again. So I want to encourage you to grab that on your way out. And today what we're doing is making a distinction as we start moving forward and dreaming again and thinking about that stuff. Instead of chasing our dreams, today we want to stop and make sure we're not chasing our dreams, but we're chasing the God who gives us the dreams. And that's some blanks there on your notes, if you're taking notes today, that we want to, instead of chasing the dream itself, we want to chase the God who gives us the dream. Because what happens is if we do dream, and wow, that's exciting. Look at that dream. Yeah, let's go for it. What can happen without us even realizing it is we can start to put that dream on the throne of our life, and God is taken off the throne. And what happens a lot of times is we envision God as like Santa Claus. God, help me make this happen. That's getting the cart before the horse. We don't want to do that. We want to pursue and chase after the God of the dream and have the dream at the same time, all right? So we don't want to get rid of the dream. We want to pursue God and have a dream and have it in that order. Does that make sense? And in the Bible, in the book of Joel, in the Old Testament, there was a very, very dark season, literally dark. In fact, the Bible says there was like a cloud of locusts that were coming in and they were eating the crops. And in an agrarian society like that, it not only destroyed their food supply, but it also destroyed their economy. So they didn't have much to eat and they were struggling financially. And God gives a word, a prophetic word to Joel, to these people who are devastated. And this is what Joel 2 and 12 says. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now. Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Now, in their day and time, they had this very physical expression of grief. They would literally rip their clothes and lay in ashes and do all this very physical way of processing their grief. And this is what he says. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Reveal the depths way below the surface to God. That's what he's saying. Return to the Lord your God, for he's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He's eager to relent and not punish. This is a very powerful text that I believe he's speaking to us today in 2021. It is time to return to him, not just in religious practice, habits, some sort of ritual, rote activity, but instead let it be something that is authentic. And that's a heart thing, not just a habit thing. Don't just look good on the outside, but let there be way down deep, below the surface, an authentic return to the Lord from your heart. Amen. Look what he says in verse 25. So I will restore to you the years. Somebody say years. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. Every locust type thing is going to be restored to you. Now, we as humans in this day and time, we know about restoration of houses. We know about restoration of floors or cars or furniture. There's, fixer-upper. What are they doing? They're restoring things, making it look good. I want you to get the picture that the God you serve is able to restore years to you. Think about that. You've had bad things happen to you. Your innocence has been stolen. Your youth has been stolen. You've made mistakes and you have squandered things and you have wasted years. What God is saying is that he will restore to you years that have been taken away from you. Come on, 2020 is going to come back to us in a good way. Amen. Think about a God that can restore your innocence to you. A God that could restore your purity to you. That he could make you holy. He could restore your virginity to you. A God that can do something more than what you can do for yourself. You can get smarter, you can make more money, you can make more connections, and you can rebuild your life and rebuild your 401k, and you can work and do all that. Da, 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 da. But you serve a God that can do so much more than you could ever do by yourself. How do we access that? How do we participate in that? Well, we follow what he says. We return to him. Fasting and prayer and weeping and mourning. And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that online. We have it available on the internet. You can go back and see it. But I talked about fasting, and I talked about prayer, and I talked about reading the word and how we can we can take off the old nature and put on the old nature. So God wants to restore to you things that have been taken away from you and things that you've wasted and squandered. Seeking the God of the dream instead of the dream. Jesus believed this. When Jesus was here and he was leading, setting up the kingdom, he saw a lot of people that were just going through the motions. And they were the religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These were the religious leaders of the day. And Jesus got like physically violent with some of these people and got, you know, in their face. He didn't do that with the sinners that were out, you know, robbing people and doing, you know, sinful, bad things. He was very kind to those people, very forgiving, hugging them, welcoming them, letting them come in, eating with them. But to the religious leaders that were actually selling the sacrifices in the temple and making personal profit off of the forgiveness of God, Jesus saw that one time, and he took some cords and some rope and created a whip out of it and starts beating the religious leaders who are in the temple. He physically gets violent and starts overturning their tables that have stacks of coins and money and stuff on them, and just starts throwing them out of the way, because he says, "You've turned my father's house of prayer into a den of thieves." It's intense. Jesus knew there was a difference between pursuing the dream and pursuing God. He says in Matthew 15:8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines as the commandments of men." In other words, they take man's philosophy and they preach it as doctrine. He said, that's not the way we're going to roll. If you look the part, but you don't have down below the surface a heart that's pursuing God, then you're doing it in vain. He says, with your mouth you honor me, with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain. It's a way, you're wasting your time. Let's not waste our time. All right, getting to church, going through the motions, that's a lot of work, right? So let's not go through all that work and all that effort just to look good for somebody. That's not why we're here. Just to try to make yourself look good to God, even. He's not impressed with that either. God's more impressed with the humility, with the exposure of your heart, and passionately, honestly giving yourself to him. And so this is what Jesus knew. This is what some of the blanks there on your notes. Jesus knew that the way to the dream was through devotion. If you're going to get to the dream that God has for you in your life, the path to that dream is devotion to God. And devotion is that heartfelt, sincere connection to God. Devotion. Once while Jesus was praying, the disciples said, "Jesus, your prayers are amazing. Can you teach us how to pray like you pray?" And Jesus says, "Sure, I'll teach you." And he says, "When you pray, pray like this." And then he prays a prayer that everybody in here knows. And most of you can, recite it by memory. He says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." And they are all like, "Okay, we'll pray like that." But there, it's powerful to pray that. It's powerful to recite that. I want to encourage you, if you don't know it by memory, memorize it. It's a great thing to pray. It centers you. It helps you in many, many ways. I often will start my prayer by just saying that. But there was something deeper that Jesus wanted to teach us and the disciples in that prayer. It's a template. It is a model of prayer. And in fact, he says, when you pray, pray like this. He didn't really say, pray these exact words. He said, pray like this. So I want to give you the seven stages of the prayer that he just laid out for us. The first one is praise. Write this down. The first one is praise. And the way that Jesus begins his prayer with praise is, our Father, that's important. That's how we address him, as our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, which means holy is your name. I'm going to begin my prayer with praise. Now, I grew up in a church, very fundamental, very strong. I don't know, you know, your backgrounds, but for those of us that came in a real white fire, hot preaching, you know what I'm talking about? And anybody else know what I'm talking about? My pastor told us, hey, if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be in ministry, if you're going to be in leadership, you got to pray an hour a day. That's just like 101, okay? And so Pastor Randy Phillips, who was here a few weeks ago, first Wednesday, that's my pastor's son. And so both Randy and I grew up under him. And so we both heard that many times. And Randy will tell this story of, you know, when he was young and he was wanting to be a pastor. And he's like, I got to pray an hour. So he gets down on his knees. He begins to pray. And man, he's going for it. Man, he's like, I'm going to pray, God. And he starts praying for his parents and himself and his sister and the church. And he starts praying for his family and his neighbors. And, you know, like every aunt, every uncle, and every cousin, and dogs and cats and gerbils. And I mean, he's just praying. And he's like, looks at the clock, and it's been 7 minutes. How do I do this? That's the heart of the disciples as well. How do we do this? So these seven things I'm sharing with you that Jesus shared with us, you could spend a minute on each one of them. Pray for 7 minutes. You could spend 5 minutes on each one of them and pray for 35 minutes. You know, it doesn't matter. There's no legalism here about how long you need to pray or how you're going to pray in that regard. You could spend 5 minutes on one, 3 minutes on another, 10 on another. It's just a conversation. This is how a conversation can flow. So we start it with praise, declaring to God who we think he is, declaring to God who we want to know about him. We also enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So you can spend time here thanking God for things and having an appreciative heart and mindset. So we're praising God for who he is, and we're thanking God for what he's done. That's how we always want to open up our prayer and our conversation with God. Lord, I love you. I want to know more about you. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you that I know who you are. God, I've seen you act in so many incredible ways. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you for my marriage, God. I thank you for my kids, and I thank you for Promised Land. God, I'm so blessed to be a part of this church, and I'm so thankful to have the friends that I have and the ministry partners that I have and all the people that are a part of this. So I just start thanking God and praising God and having a praise introduction to prayer. The second one is purpose, and Jesus says this by saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a prayer of submission and purpose. So we start with praise, then we go to purpose. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a shift in who's in charge. Lord, I want your will to be done. Lord, show me what your will is. If there's anything in my life that I've put ahead of you, if I put the dream ahead of you, Lord, reveal that to me. Convict my heart. I want to know that. I want to see that because, Lord, I want your will to happen. Lord, I don't want there to be any separation between heaven and earth. Let heaven and earth come together in my life today. Let the kingdom and the presence of the Lord be a part of my day. Let the kingdom come, your will be done. And in some translations, I think King James translation says, in earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, I want my earthly realm that I experience, I want it to be infused with the heavenly realm. Lord, I want that to happen. So this is how we pray, and we just make sure that that is established too, that we are in the right place. Lord, you're on the throne. I'm down here. I'm on earth. You're in heaven. Let's get together. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. This is petition. Petition is the third stage of prayer. This is where we do ask for things. And if you have any needs before God, just like we did a few minutes ago, after we sang, after we worshiped God, then I came up and I said, if there's anything you need, let's talk to God right now. That's petition. And it's important that we don't start our prayer with that. We don't want to just have a gimme, gimme, gimme kind of attitude. We want to have the right attitude. So if you've started with praise and then you started with your, you know, the purpose and the submission to God, then when you start asking for things and it's gone through this filter, you'll ask for different things than if you'd started with it and been selfish. Does that make sense? Yeah. Very important. Very, very good that Jesus leads us in this way. And he's going to provide to you exactly what you need on a daily basis. The fourth thing is pardon. Forgive us of our debts. Forgive us of our sins. And this is important that we all do this. If you can think of specific things that you need forgiven, maybe you've acted out in a way. Lord, forgive me for talking that way to my wife. Forgive me for lashing out and being irresponsible in that way, Lord. Forgive me for squandering this money that was a blessing to me and I've wasted it. Whatever you feel in your heart. And then it's good to just say, Lord, there's many things I've probably done. I don't even know. Please forgive me. Cover me, Lord. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. This is a big confession that we have here. Lord, I want you to know I'm not here as some perfect kid of yours. I'm a sinner. I need help, and I humble myself. Please forgive me. The fifth part is also pardon. So we pardon now those who have sinned against us. Lord, please forgive this person, and Lord, I forgive them. And Lord, and if you're struggling, if like you honestly don't have the courage or the grace to forgive someone that has done you wrong, pray about that. Say, God, give me the grace, Lord. I know it is your will that I forgive this person, but I'm just angry. I'm just hurt. I'm just upset. Lord, I need your help to forgive this person. We all have different areas of, you know, people that have done us wrong. Maybe you're holding on to something from years ago and you've held on it for so long. Let's give that to God in 2021. Let's not carry that in with us, because this is something that's powerful. You'll understand as you get further along with God is that he's the judge. He's the jury. He's going to execute judgment, and he's perfectly capable and he can handle vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't have to hold people accountable to that. You can forgive them and say, Lord, that's God, you do whatever you want to do with that person. I give you permission to make it bad too, if you want to do that. Anyway. But you can forgive them and let it go. Number six is protection. Protection. This is spiritual warfare. And I want to encourage you to step into this realm of prayer if you've never done this. This is praying against a spiritual darkness in your life. And if you're not familiar with this, maybe this is a new concept to you. You've never really stepped into this part of the template. You've just said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what Jesus said. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 6. And it will give you many thoughts and ideas on spiritual warfare and the role that God has put you as a believer in this very powerful position for you to stand up against the spirits of darkness that are coming against your health, your family, your emotions, your job, your degree plan, your roommates, your friends. I mean, like, there's a devil out there that is seeking whom he may devour. And he is seeking Christians out to confuse you, to lie, that you may believe him and be sucked into his plan. So this is our area where we say, no, I stand against that. As a man of my house, I stand against darkness. As the pastor of this church, I take on the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness in high places. All right, I'm quoting Ephesians 6. Go read it. It's good. And step into that protection. And then number 7 is proclamation. Proclamation is very similar to the way we began our prayer with your kingdom come, your will be done. But this time he says, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory. This is super important. What we're saying as we end our prayer is, God, this is all about you. God, you're the one that has all the power to get this done. And then when it does happen, you're going to receive all the glory for it. I'm going to thank you for it because you did something for your kingdom, and I'm just a bit player in this. I'm just a person on the side over here. You're the main character, God. This is all about you. This is your kingdom. This is your story. This is also another good way as you end your prayer to say, Lord, I am looking forward to the day when I see you face to face, when this realm is over, of this earth that we're living in is over, and we're living in heaven with you forever and ever and ever. It's good to proclaim that as you end your prayer. God, I know that what I see in front of me is not the end. It is not the total picture, but Lord, I'm believing that you're going to have the last say and the last word in this. Amen. Then you say amen, right? I want to finish, and I'm going to have the band come out as we finish, but I want to finish with Joel. I'm going to go back to Joel chapter 2 and read to you verse 28 and 29. And this is what happens when we rend our hearts, when we expose our hearts to him. This is what Joel the prophet said in Joel 2:28. It says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit, the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. Now this was enormous because it says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on and in those days. Then fast forward to the book of Acts chapter 2, when Jesus had ascended into heaven and the Holy Ghost fell in chapter 2, and Peter the apostle gets up and he preaches a message. And he tells them, this is what is happening. What Joel prophesied in chapter 2 is happening right now. So I want to encourage you today. Why don't you stand to your feet, everybody. Everybody that's watching online, you can stand up off the couch. Come on, get up. Let's pray. We're going to finish out in prayer, and then these guys are going to sing a song. We're going to go back into that first song that we sang today. But I want us to pray first, and I want us to get our minds right and our hearts right. And I would love if you would join with me in just a prayer of exposure. Lord, I expose my heart to you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me right now? Lord, we are so thankful that you prophesied to us in Joel 2 that your spirit would be poured out on us if our vessel is open and ready. God, we want to make our vessel ready today and open today and available today. Please forgive us. Would you just ask that of the Lord? Lord, please forgive me. I'm in need of a Savior. I want to live for you, God. I surrender my heart to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would just step into my life and fill me with your Spirit. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you're the way. I believe there's no one like you. Come on, confess your need for God right now. Move beyond lip service. Move beyond just going through the motions and actually tell God from your heart, Lord, I'm ready for you to be in control of my life. Lord, I'm eager for you to be in my life. Come on, everybody, say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.